right, appreciate
strong values and strong opinions.
Sorry, I jumped in early. I was so anxious for the interview.
KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
All right, now I can talk. I've my first day on the job. Thanks for being here. Joining me in studio, Arizona Congressman Juan Sisqumani. Really anxious to talk to you. Thanks for doing this.
Hey, thanks, Mike. Happy to be here on your first day on the job.
I'm learning the ropes. I want to jump right into this. Let's start with the border visit. Tomorrow, there are going to be three Democrats and three Republicans, colleagues of yours, that will be at the Arizona border. It's going to be you, led by you and Democrat Congressman Greg Stanton from Arizona. Can you talk a little bit about the border visit and what you hope to accomplish?
That's right. So this is a bipartisan trip, like you mentioned. Three Republicans, three Democrats going to the border. Not only the border area, but we're listening on immigration law. We're also going to be on the other side of the border, going on the Mexico side, visiting manufacturing plants. So I've always talked about them in this show as well. When we talk about the border, it's security, it's trade and commerce, it's immigration law, it's all of the above as well. So we're going to cover it all in this trip. And it's important to know that we're going to be there for 2 days. So this is not a come in and out photo op type, that we want to have it be substantive with the right information, meet with the people that are on the ground, from Border Patrol to the ones that are doing trade and commerce and so on. So this is going to be a full loaded trip. And again, the main objective is for every one of these members from Illinois, New York, and California to be able to go back home or back to their districts and then back to Washington much better informed of what actually happens here at the border.
Are you a little frustrated? Because I get frustrated for this reason. I have defended Arizona, saying we are starting to hear places like New York and Denver and Chicago sound a lot like Arizona and saying this is unsustainable with the migrants in our towns. It seems like the momentum for border security is swinging in the favor of people like you and I that say it starts with border security, but it seems like the wheels are turning so slow. Is that frustrating to you too?
It is absolutely frustrating. It's frustrating because the evidence is there. Independent voters even are, this is their number one issue as well. This is not just a Republican issue anymore that you're seeing. A lot of Democrats are interested in this as well. Example is Greg and I. Now, we've worked together since he was mayor when I was with the Arizona-Mexico Commission, so this is not a new issue for Greg and I to work together on. So when we look at what's happening, a lot of old school stuff. You know, Greg has been in for, this is his second term, this is my first term. It is going to take this new generation of members to come in and say, enough with all the treadmill running on this issue of the political football on immigration and border security. But I got to tell you, these people that are coming down from up East Coast especially, if they weren't seeing the number of migrants being arriving to their states, I'm not sure that they would feel the heat that, like they're feeling it now.
But isn't there some pushback within the caucuses or within the parties that if you're a Republican willing to work in a bipartisan way with a Democrat, you get heat for it and vice versa? Does that play a role in why some people are not backing some of these things?
Absolutely. What you're seeing now, and I'm seeing it in my own district, and I'm sure Greg is seeing it as well, you get criticized from both sides for doing something like this. Finding consensus or bipartisanship have become, you know, no words in Congress. When in a divided Congress like we have now, this is the way to pass legislation. Now, with the Republicans having the majority in the House, we have the opportunity actually to set the legislation, set it forward, get the wins that we need, and then come back and fight another day for these. So when we prioritize border security, we have to be able to do the things that matter. It's not about passing messaging bills that are going to go to the Senate and just die. We have to pass things that will actually make a difference.
So let's talk then about not just the border visit, but the piece of legislation about communications. Can you explain that you and Congressman Stanton proposed legislation on how they communicate? Is that a good way of saying
that
it?
That is a good way to say it. So there's a lack of and a breakdown in communication between the different Homeland Security departments, from Border Patrol to Customs to law enforcement. We need to have a seamless flow of communication here for security reasons. And that also is communication to Congress so that we can make better policy decisions on what actually legislation would work. So that's what this bill would do.
And is it being well received? Do you see it passing soon? And do you think the Senate will take it up?
It is very well received. And the fact that you have two co-sponsors from different parties and both from a border state, in my case, a border district, even that gives it a lot better chance of passing. Leadership has worked very well with any bill that I've prioritized for veterans, my own border bills as well. The bill this past weekend that we voted on border security. So I have a really good relationship with the Speaker, Mike Johnson, and the leader, Steve Scalise. So that helps us on our side. And Greg is going to work on the folks on his side of the aisle to make something happen. Then it's up to us to go work in the Senate Senate and make sure that they pick it up as well. This is a common sense bill that should pass.
When you look at, when you spoke of security, we talked about Christopher Wray, the FBI director, and raising the alarm that post October 7th, the concerns about terrorism here in the U.S., you have to keep in mind, at least you have to be mindful of the fact that the border issue could lead to something like that. Is that something that you're discussing with your colleagues as well? And even the more urgency in getting something done.
Absolutely. When you look at the fact that over 200 people have been apprehended that are on the FBI terrorist watch list. Now, you got to earn your way on that list. You don't just appear on there for no reason. So when you have over 200 apprehensions of people that are on that list, that worries you. And when we saw what happened in Israel and what's happening across the world, it's an unstable place. And our enemies are emboldened because of the weakness of this administration, of this White House, and the fact that the border has been wide open. It allows for people that we don't know who they are to come into this country. And now we're seeing crime spurge around the country on this. No major, I would say, terrorist attack yet. However, that's a very, very strong possibility of that.
What is also something to consider when we talk about this issue, the border issue, is that more and more Americans are in favor of mass deportations. We are seeing the attitude toward legal immigration decline in America. And I think that's horrible. I am such an advocate for legal immigration. Your story of being a naturalized citizen and now representing your district in the Congress is the American dream story that we should be telling stories we're proud of. How much of that is something harder for you to deal with when you think about attitudes towards immigration changing in America?
Yeah, well, first of all, I understand people's conflict right now because what they've seen the last couple of years on this is horrific, and it's been the total abuse on the system. As an immigrant myself, and when I won in November in 22, I became the first immigrant from Mexico to win a congressional seat in Arizona's history. Had never been done before. Broke that glass ceiling for not only immigrants, but people pursuing the American dream overall in this country, that you can come wash cars with your dad for a living when you're young and end up representing those same houses in Congress that you wash cars in, you know, later on. So we're all living a version of the American dream. I believe in it. However, what's happened, it's been an abuse on this. So people's opinion and has shifted on this, and that's very unfortunate. However, the president can fix this if he wanted to by stopping the really bad actors. We can't let a group of bad actors really define the millions and millions of immigrants that have paid the price, come into this country, and like my family, it took them almost 14 years to become U.S. citizens. A lot of people are still in this process. And one of the saddest things here, Mike, is that people that have been in this process for over a decade, their process just got delayed even more because of the bottleneck that is happening in the immigration system and the how we're stuck in policy as well. So people that are actually going through the process, legally paying the attorney fees and going through everything, are the ones also paying the price for this.
Well, I know the caucus in the House has put you in charge of the committee on these border issues, but do you have contact with anyone in the White House? Is the White House listening to stories like yours? Is there any movement in the White House and a change in policy that could expedite some of these changes and then you can do legislation?
Short answer is no.
No.
Short answer is no from the White House. We have communicated. We have over-communicated on this. Even as in my freshman year, because of my background and who I represent, I was given a leadership position in terms of anything border, anything immigration related. However, the White House has just played a blind eye to this, a deaf ear to it. And I've had direct meetings or conversations with Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, who we ended up impeaching just about a month ago because of his just dereliction of duty and ignoring the law. So we're past the point of conversations with them. They know what they have to do. We've been telling them for almost 4 years now, Mike, and they just the evidence is, what have they done? And the answer is nothing. So that's a problem.
So the impeachment of Mayorkas, my last question is about that. Would that have done any good if he had been ousted? Because if he works at the pleasure of the president, it's the White House that's not responding. How would we get anybody else in that place if appointed, or at least, you know, obviously the nomination from the president? How are we ever going to get anybody different if the president's not moving?
Well, without Alejandro Mayorkas there, we know that someone that can't do the job would be gone. The president would get another opportunity to appoint someone. That person would have to go through the scrutiny of the Senate as well. Our Senate Republicans may have been able to do something there, but we just need someone that can actually work on this. We know it's been proven that Alejandro Mayorkas does not want to secure the border. And ultimately, he's responsible for this, reports to the president. But on the chart, he's the one that is making this happen. So we've held him accountable, went through the Homeland Security Committee, made a decision, we voted on it, and he was gone in terms of the House. The Senate never picked it up. That's very unfortunate. Playing politics with this again. We need to secure the border. Alejandro Mayorkas has proven that he will not do that, and neither will President Biden. And that's why we need to win the White House back in November.
I know you have other commitments this morning. I appreciate you dropping in here, and you've always kept your commitment. When you're in Phoenix, you come in the studio.
You got it.
And you got an open invitation.
Thanks, man. See you soon.
All right. That is Congressman Juan Sciscomani. Coming up, we have Did You Hear This? Stick around.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM, and the KTAR News app.
All right. I can't imagine we're going to fit this into one segment. We'll give it a try. The biggest news stories of the day. Did you hear this?
Did you hear this? Broomhead's reaction to the hottest news stories.
An Arizona grand jury has indicted 18 people in a fake elector scheme dating back to the 2020 election. It comes after a 13-month investigation into what happened in 2020. Attorney General Chris Mays explained the indictment.
We're here because justice demands an answer to the efforts that the defendants and other unindicted co-conspirators allegedly took to undermine the will of Arizona's voters during the 2020 presidential election.
What will come of these indictments?
I have absolutely no idea, but this is going to be a long time coming. It's not going to be a fast process. It's going to be a slow process. And I know that it's not necessarily a popular thing, but I don't see this right now on its face as much different than being the two sides of the same coin of the constant lawsuits and appeals that went through the court system on the overturning the 2020 or the 2022 election. If we're moving on, let's move on. This happened in 2020. It did not change the results of the election. So at face value, I think this is going to be a long process that's going to keep an old wound open when many people want to close the wound and move forward.
Arizona State House Representative Timothy Dunn joined the show to explain why he voted yes to repeal the 1864 abortion law yesterday. Representative Dunn said he was thinking about the long term.
We had to eliminate that, so we go back to 15 weeks, and now we have a better chance of stopping that and defeating that ballot measure so we can save more babies' lives long term.
What did you think of his reasoning for voting yes?
I understand it. I understand it completely. If you're someone that's pro-life, and I am, and you're looking at what the ballot initiative is out there and the support that's out there, and understanding how a ballot initiative works, that these signatures get on the ballot, it's on the ballot for you to vote on for guaranteed access to abortion. That's one thing that many people believe is legitimate. But if you believe that this thing is going to open the door to something much more than you believe is reasonable, and it alters the Constitution and is almost impossible to ever reverse, as a pro-life person, you have to look at that and say, do we fight for the best that we can get, or do we stand our ground on one issue, win a battle, and lose the war? So I definitely understand his way of thinking. It's a very difficult decision for someone that's pro-life, but I appreciate his candor. You are listening to Did You Hear This? We do it every day at 11:20 to catch you up on the headlines.
U.S. economic growth slowed sharply to 1.6% last quarter, according to the Commerce Department's GDP report.
Thursday's report showing the economy slowed drastically from the final 3 months of 2023, when growth was at 3.4%. The economic slowdown, the result of high interest rates that are taking a toll on borrowing and spending.
What does this tell you about how the Federal Reserve is handling interest rates?
I think this may be an indicator that we might have some kind of an interest rate cut this year if we see inflation begin to drop now along with economic growth. Because, you know, the supply side of things, if people are not buying it and it's stacking up on the shelves, it drops prices down. It also depends a lot on fuel prices. What's going to happen with food prices? That's always a big part of this as well. What we have seen that's as concerning to me as anything else, I would say even more concerning, is that we are seeing inflation remain sticky. We need to see that number dropping as well. When that number begins to drop, then I'll feel a lot better. But right now, it's tough on both sides.
The United States Supreme Court heard arguments this morning over how much immunity a former president of the United States should enjoy from criminal prosecution. Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson questioned the idea of absolute immunity for presidents.
Let me put this worry on the table. If the potential for criminal liability is taken off the table, wouldn't there be a significant risk that future presidents would be emboldened to commit crimes with abandon while they're in office?
Is absolute immunity for a president a dangerous road to go down?
I think absolute immunity for anyone is a difficult road and a scary road to go down, but just on the opposite side, and that's the razor thin line that has to be walked. Because if a president has to be concerned about the opposite political party or political opponents coming after them after the presidency, now you have to worry about the decisions you would make as president that you think are valuable but would concern you about after your time in office and would hinder your ability to do your job. I think both of them are reasonable conversations. Both of them are reasonable concerns. What I'm not smart enough to figure out is what's the reasonable conclusion. All right, great job, Julia. How you got that into one segment? Good for you.
I'm not sure how I finished it.
I don't know how you did that either. By the way, Julie has been around here on roller skates all day, from one interview to the next interview to cutting things up and guests in studio. This has been a busy day. I'll tell you what, tomorrow we'll work and we'll take 2 days off. How's that sound?
Wow, that's like magic.
That's magic. All right, coming up in a moment, we are going to go back to the topic of the accusations of fake electors. We have heard from the Attorney General. You'll hear more. But we're also going to let you, I'm going to talk about an interview I did with the lawyer for one of the people that has been indicted, the lawyer for Jake Hoffman, and why she believes this will be thrown out. We're going to do that next.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
I have a feeling this fake electors conversation is going to take us into the rest of the election cycle. But before we get to all that stuff, let's get to the good stuff right now.
All in for the Suns in the playoffs.
Here is your chance to win Suns tickets. You can be entered to win Suns tickets by texting the word SWISH. I wish I could have that Al McCoy voice. SWISH to 411-923. No exclamation points, no quotation marks, just the word SWISH to 411-923. Do it right now. Enter your info, and you just might be heading to a Suns home playoff game. You'll get another shot in the 3 o'clock hour with Chris and Joe, but text the word SWISH to 411-923 to enter. Good luck. I hope you win. We've been having the conversation about fake electors. We've been having the conversation about these indictments. And, you know, listen, I think I'm fair. At least in my mind, I'm fair on things. I was upset with my party and people in my party going all the way back to the 2020 election and the audit that happened. I thought what they did was they were prolonging the inevitable. I thought they were dredging up the old stuff. I thought they weren't focusing on 2022. I thought that we should just be moving forward. And you know what? It was one of the one times in my life where I had my friends that are Democrats agreeing with me that dwelling on the past and all of these other things was the wrong thing to do. And they agreed with me. And I had many of them say, you know, at least you're being intellectually honest. Well, I'm being intellectually honest right now. I have the utmost respect for the Attorney General, Chris Mays. I know a number of people that have been indicted. I know a number of these people on differing levels and have a lot of respect for them. And I would say this to me feels like the same side or the opposite side of the same coin. And here's what I mean by that. Move on. Let's move on from 2020. Why all these lawsuits? And then when you lose another lawsuit, why another appeal? Why this? Why that? Well, I'm going to ask the same question in my mind at face value. Why this? Why now? Harmeet Dhillon is a very well-known attorney across the country. He has been on cable news and has represented a lot of people that you would know in the political world, and is seen as a leading attorney in the country. And she is representing, her firm is representing Senator Jake Hoffman. Senator Hoffman's office put out a statement about this. And if I can find it quickly enough, I'm just going to read a little piece of it. And that is that Senator Hoffman says, I haven't done anything wrong and I'm going to fight this forever. But when I had his lawyer joined me, the senator said before there was an investigation had even been conducted with no evidence. Chris Mays, at the time she wasn't the attorney general. Chris Mays declared that she believed the electors such as myself were guilty of a crime and that it was her job to get Biden reelected, that she would control the timing of the indictment. Now, unsurprisingly, we see that she has weaponized the once respected attorney general's office to deliver an indictment of her Republican political opponents years after the event at issue, long after the Democrat Democrat prosecutors made their decisions and right before the Arizona primary election. He goes on to say, let me be unequivocal. I am innocent of any crime. I will vigorously defend myself, and I look forward to a day when I'm vindicated of this naked political persecution by the judicial process. So he says the timing of this has everything to do with the primary in Arizona. So here is his lawyer, Harmeet Dhillon, talking about the timing.
A number of other courts have already brought or declined to bring prosecutions here. And the timing of this particular prosecution by who I consider to be an illegitimate attorney general in your state, because of, you know, we can cover that another day. But this is literally dropped just weeks before your primary election in Arizona for purely political purposes.
So is this politically motivated? You can answer yes or no, or you can answer yes and say it's still justified possibly, but it's hard to argue the timing of this. And again, I would never accuse the attorney general of wrongdoing necessarily, because I respect her. That's not lip service. I've known her for a long time. She's been a guest on this show. We've debated issues where we've disagreed. We've talked about issues where we agreed. But the timing of this, to me, is bothersome. Just like I said of people I respected in the Arizona State Legislature that were promoting and pushing and getting this audit done, I questioned what it would ever accomplish. And I said then, you're going to find out, even if your results are the election was stolen, no one's going to believe it. It's a partisan maneuver. It doesn't look right, and it doesn't serve anyone well. I would say the same thing about this at face value. I don't think it serves anybody's interest. I think the entire Arizona electorate wants to move on to 2024. And doing this right now, it does have the appearance of being political in nature, but it certainly is something that's been almost four years in the making, certainly more than three and a half years in the making. And now all of a sudden, right before the primary, it happens. What this is going to do, it is going to gin up the anger and the base of both parties. And it's something we're trying to reduce to have reasonable conversations about the issues. So that's kind of where I see it right now. Ms. Dhillon goes on to say that nothing here, no one did anything wrong.
There is no secret. They're alleging forgery, fraud, a secret conspiracy. Literally, these alternate electors, and Jake is one of them, did something that is time-honored and has even been suggested by Democrats in the very same election.
So that's the issue, and she talked about it was something that they had talked about doing because of the timing of it. And she mentions that about the Democrats as well.
Van Jones and Professor Larry Lessig suggested that now candidate Biden might do the same thing, which is namely in a state where there is no determination as yet. There's litigation ongoing, that in the event of litigation turning out in favor of the challenger, that there be an alternate slate of electors prepared to go to Congress and have a determination in Congress as to who is the correct slate of electors. This happened in Hawaii in the 1960s. It has been suggested in many other cases. It's been suggested by Democrats, typically, not Republicans.
So this is the question. Was this done as if the election is overturned, these are the electors, and we have to have, and this is what they're saying. Their case is, we are now telling you that there is litigation to try to overturn the results of the election. If that litigation is successful and the electors for the Electoral College as it stands right now are deemed to be false or whatever term you want to use, these will be the electors in their place. So we are kind of electors in waiting. And so that is what we're doing because of the time constraint issues. And so is that a reasonable thought process? And if that is the case, why did the attorney general not look at that and say this is going to be their defense and they've got a good chance of winning on that defense? Harmeet Dhillon goes on to say that there was no crime committed here.
There is no fraud because nobody was misled. No outcome was changed. There is no forgery, which is a crime that requires specific intent to do something that is illegal. And there is literally not going to be any evidence that these prosecutors can produce to the court in a trial that shows that my client or any client thought they were doing anything wrong. They were following the advice of a lawyer for President Trump, who, by the way, is not indicted. Random other popular figures in the media have been indicted in this case. It is like an absolute kitchen sink.
So there you, that's the other part of it. And I will tell you, she makes a reasonable argument. And if you want to hear both sides, my frustration, and I think you can probably hear the frustration in my voice, is I love Arizona. I love what we stand for. I love who the people are. It has nothing to do with partisan political issues. I am as adamant in my beliefs and my opinions as anybody is about their opinions. I have very strong feelings about a lot of things. But I also make room, like most people do, to have you be passionate about your feelings as well. I want us to be the best we absolutely can be. I don't want to see the extremes in either party take over the voices of the majorities in both parties. What this ends up doing is the people on the far right are going to say this is a political hatchet job, that this is politically motivated just weeks before the primary. These people will stop at nothing to try to win elections, or use the word steal elections, that this is proof of just how corrupt the system is. People on the other side of this conversation were saying exactly the same words about the audit and about the challenges to 2022 and about the lawsuits and about everything else that worked its way all the way to the United States Supreme Court. And what good did it do us? It did no good. And I don't believe this is going to do any good for anyone either. I don't believe it at all. And so, you know, you have every right, if you're politically motivated, if you're someone that's politically astute, to look at Senator Hoffman as one of them, Kern is another one, and look at them and say, I don't like them. I don't like their political values. I don't like their political positions. I just don't like them. And I'm not voting for them, and I'm going to work really hard to make sure they don't get reelected. I would never argue with you about your right to do that. I would even applaud you and say, I like anybody that stands up for what they believe in. My problem is when you stood shoulder to shoulder with me and said, what they're doing in fighting these elections and audits and all this other stuff is a waste of time and a waste of money. And now you stand up and applaud this. If one's a waste of time, I think the other one is just as much a waste of time. We should be looking forward, joining hands where we can, and moving forward. All right, coming up, we're going to talk obviously about these big issues of the day, and we're going to find out what Chris and Joe are doing from 2 to 4. It's all happening in just a few moments.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
All right. Thanks for being here. And hopefully you got entered for Suns tickets. I promote this every day because we're giving you a chance in each one of our shows to enter to win Suns tickets. They'll be doing it again 2 to 4 in the 3 o'clock hour of the Chris and Joe Show. In studio with me right now is Joe Huizenga of the Chris and Joe Show. Before we dive into any other topic, I have a question for you because I know you're a big sports fan.
Oh, I'm ready. What do you got?
What's your expectation today? Do the Cardinals
Marvin Harrison Jr.
Definitely. Is that what you think?
1,000%.
I do too.
But it pains me to say that.
Well, I don't know that I say 1,000%.
No, 1,000%.
I do believe that Austin Fort is the kind of guy that if somebody brings him a deal that he can't refuse.
Of course.
And I don't know if that's possible, but other than that, I can't see them doing anything funny just to get an extra pick here or there. Yep. It would have to be something that you go, whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I mean, you know, I'm a big Michigan fan.
Uh-huh.
And you know, their draft pick last year, Buckeye.
It's one of the things.
This year, first round, probably a Buckeye.
But one of the things you and I agree on. One of the things you and I agree on most is we both hate Ohio State.
But Marvin Harrison Jr., best wide receiver out there. Kyler Murray needs some options, man. He can't just be throwing to McBride, the tight end, and have, you know, nobody else out there. Needs a wide receiver. Now, on to important things, Mike, okay?
Let's go.
I have surveyed your audience. First off, I know you always ask me, hey, what are Chris and you getting into? We're going to talk some of what you talk today. A little bit of fake electors. But more importantly, Chris and I talked about this a little bit yesterday, and I warned you a couple weeks ago, I need dating tips, man. I'm on Bumble, and Chris and I talked about this. I've got some girl, aka Nigerian prince, who's trying to get me to sign up for WhatsApp and wants me to chat on WhatsApp with them. And then I got this other one. I believe she is a woman. I have not been able to prove otherwise yet. Who blew me up the other day. Now, I need your help here because you are like a Casanova. I mean, I know you slay it with the ladies.
In defense of myself,
yeah.
I've been happily married a couple of times.
Yeah,
so.
You know what you're doing.
Yes, I do.
Not once, but twice. This girl hits me up that the women have to make the first move on Bumble, and she says, "So you got to tell me, now that I've reviewed your profile and have to ask, now that we've matched, how did you survive this long without me?"
Wow.
So I
That's
came,
not a bad line.
I came back with, "It was painful, but now that I've reviewed your message, thank God I don't have to endure this suffering any longer." And then I responded a little later because she still hadn't gotten back to me, "Or do I?" And she said, "No, guess it's time to pack a date." So I don't know how we're packing a date. So we can get to having fun. So I need a hot dating tips from Mike Broomhead. Go.
Like,
how long
like
do we have left, Julia?
Like where to go, or is
Andy,
this
a, you think she's legit, or do you think I'm dealing with another Nigerian prince here, man?
I have never, ever, ever, ever been on a dating app, so I have no idea.
Man, you're that good.
No, I've given up.
So let me pivot to this. You haven't given up.
Given up.
Where can I meet women in person? Where's the great places to go around town?
You are in radio. I mean, you go
I'm
to events.
In radio.
You go to events. You have access to events.
Uh-huh.
You could take someone to a ball. You could invite someone to a ball game. You could say, "Hey, I can get us some good seats. Are you a baseball fan?"
But I
got to
meet them before that.
But you don't just meet people. You don't have casual conversations with people.
I got my cat.
There's your problem.
I got my cat. I got a roommate.
He's a
Knicks fan. He's not good.
The cat thing is the problem.
She's old and dying, Mike. It really stinks.
All right.
But I love my cat. I mean, she's a big baby.
Okay.
Who doesn't love Kelly Papowski?
I'm not a cat person.
I understand. You know I like dogs, too. Yeah. Ladies, I like all pets.
All right.
Not really snakes.
Now that we've put the word out there, first of all, the issue is, like with me, I've got a dumb last name, but it's easy to spell. So if I say to somebody, "Hey, if you're interested, mbroomhead at ktar.com is where you can hit me up.
Yeah.
If you're interested, ladies, shoot me an email."
I have joe at ktar.com.
Oh, you just Joe at ktar.
Huizenga is also a dumb last name, but it sounds like a sneeze. You can't spell it real easy.
And if I were you, I would start telling people that you are related to directly the Huizenga that owned Blockbuster
Uncle
Video.
Wayne.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would use that line.
Okay.
That would be helpful.
But what happens when we go on the date, though, and I don't have just $100 bills flying out of my wallet?
You're just, it's tied up in the trust.
Oh.
And eventually you're going to get the cash.
Man, you are just chock full of tips.
You know, because nothing gets a relationship off on the right foot like lies.
Like I'm loaded.
Right, but lies.
Yeah.
You just lie to them.
I love it.
It's an old Rodney Dangerfield line. He said, "You don't lie to me, you lie to girls."
And tell them you'll take them anywhere. Just lie.
Yes.
This is helpful.
All right. That's the Chris and Joe show, and you're going to learn more about
the dating
life of Joe Huizenga. We are just
fake electors, too.
We are just about out of time on the show. We'll be back tomorrow just after 8 a.m. I hope you're going to spend some time with us then. Thanks for listening today. Have a great afternoon, everyone. God bless.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.